Well, our sermon title this morning is, Am I Persevering in the Faith? And once again, the I here is all of us. As I said, I think last week, you don't come here to listen to me work out whatever's going on in my life. Although, there is a certain amount of truth in that, because we're all working out similar kinds of things. And if we're going to be talking about faith, and in particular persevering in faith, it's probably fairly obvious that we're going to be looking at our Hebrews lesson coming out of chapter 11 and finishing up in chapter 12. Chapter 11 of Hebrews frequently being called the faith chapter, and you can, of course, see why. Well, we look at this list of people who have lived in faith or lived out their faith, and it's an extraordinary list. And at least for some of us, we look at this list and say, well, I haven't done any of that. Or anything even close to that. We have people walking through seas, walls falling, conquering kingdoms, administering justice, shutting the mouths of lions. I've never shut the mouth of a lion. Never even shut the mouth of a dog. If the dog wanted to bite me, it did. Then again, I wasn't thrown into a den of dogs either, if that's what they're thinking of. We people quenching the fury of flames became powerful in battle, people being raised from the dead. People faced jeers and persecution. They were killed. They wandered in deserts and all of these things, these extraordinary acts and lives of faith. And I look at them and I say, well, I haven't done any of those. And it's not that I had the opportunity and didn't live out my faith. I've never even had the opportunity to do any of these things. So what does that mean? How can I persevere in my faith? Because this all comes out of verse 1 of chapter 12. And in this translation it reads, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. The translation that we read earlier was endurance. Perseverance, that's where the sermon title comes from, and of course they mean basically the same thing. Persevering, continuing on, enduring, continuing on, no matter what. Well, what are we supposed to do here? We're supposed to read to the end of the verse to begin with. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's where it becomes different. That's where we move from looking at these people and saying, well, we haven't done that, so what makes us think we have any faith? To looking at the race that's marked out for us. And the race is a metaphor, it's an analogy we're going to use, or at least talk about quite often this morning. When we look at all of these people in chapter 11, that was their race. That's what they were called to do. Now, I haven't had any of these sorts of extraordinary things, but have I ever had any opportunities to persevere in faith? And I have. As we all have. In my case, the first one that comes to mind is Heather and I were fairly certain that we were going to have children, and then we couldn't. Well, we could have just given up. We could have just thrown up our hands, I suppose. But it was more than just a thought that we wanted to have kids to take care of us when we were old. We weren't thinking of little tax deductions. We think of children. We wanted children. We wanted them in our lives. And we believed that God had changed our minds about that. Because, as I've said several times, when we first got married, we weren't sure about children. We weren't opposed to them. We didn't dislike children. We just didn't know if they were for us. And over a period of time, we realized that, no, we were called to have children, to be parents. And then we couldn't. But we persevered. And then we had twins. What a wonderful delight. That was part of my race. Part of my persevering was continuing to believe that in the face of all evidence that we would have children. And we did. And that may even be part of some of your races out there, but all of us have our own race. Most of us are at least aware that the Olympics are going on, and a number of us probably watch quite a lot of them. For some people, the Olympics are a four-year highlight that they wouldn't possibly miss. I was telling the folks at Knox, one of my coworkers is watching the Olympics off a cell phone hotspot while they're camping. That's what you, hey, if the Olympics are that important to you, you should watch the Olympics. They're not that important to me, but I do watch them. I've enjoyed watching them a great deal. As the father of many daughters, so to speak, I am almost irritatingly pleased that so far all the Canadian medals have been won by women, and have enjoyed quite a lot looking down my nose at some of the coverage by other news organizations in other countries that seem to have missed out on the fact that women and men are different. We'll save that for another day. We watched the Olympics, and there's three medals. Only three people get medals, or three teams get medals. And there are very few competitions anymore that only have three people, so at least some people are not going to get a medal. And they know that going in. But one of the things that's interesting, and you may have noticed this while you're watching the Olympics, is that frequently, at the conclusion of the race or the event, whatever it is, someone who may or may not have gotten a medal is described as achieving a personal best. And so what that means is that even if they didn't get a medal, in this day, in this event, they did the best they have ever done. And that is worthy of celebration. Because if your best is your best, that doesn't mean that somebody else's best won't be better. But it means that you've done everything you can. You have achieved a peak performance under the pressure of the Olympics. It's astonishing. I mean, all of us deal with pressure in our own ways, but I can't imagine the pressure of representing your country anywhere. But these people have, and they've achieved this personal best. Which means to me that regardless of their finishing, what rank they are, they have done everything that anyone could ask them to do. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to run this race of faith no matter what. And it's our race. And that's where the analogy begins to break down, in that when we run the race, we're not running against the person beside us. There is no person beside us. It's our own race. Because if we're looking around and saying, well, that person exercises so much more faith than I do, they are so much better than I am, but that person over there, ha, they're not exercising any faith at all. We've completely missed the point. First of all, how do you judge somebody else's measure of faith when we're so bad at measuring our own? Seems a little arrogant, at least, to look at someone else and say, I have more faith than them. Foolish. Instead of doing that, instead of looking at other people, we need to look at ourselves. And we need to look at how we're doing. How are we doing in this race? Are we persevering in our faith? Are we continuing to act out and work out and live out the faith we've been called to in the life we've been called to? Whether that's dealing with the challenges that come with poverty or the challenges that come with wealth. All of these things can be difficult for us, and each of us has our own race. And as I was reflecting on the analogy of the race, because it is useful, I thought, what kind of a race is this that we're in anyway? Well, we know for sure it's not a sprint. It's not the 100 meters or the 200 meters, those races where if you're distracted by a child or a buzzing insect, you're going to miss the whole thing because they run so fast. It's just astonishing to me what human beings can accomplish. No, this isn't that kind of a race. This is a race that has laps in it. And so then I thought, it's going to be long. Is it like the marathon? And I thought, no, that misses something, because the marathon is just, you run from here to there, and there is 26 miles, 400 yards, I think. A lot further than I've ever run at one time in my life, and quite possibly in all of my life, I'm not sure. That's a long way. But it's still a very singular kind of experience. You start and you run. And so as I was thinking, and it suddenly struck me that the race this is most like is the steeplechase. And I don't know how many of you have seen the steeplechase, but it's a really interesting race. It's done in laps around the track. You do a number of laps, I don't know how many. And as you're running along on this track, suddenly there's a barrier in your way. And it's not like a hurdle, although you can hurdle it. It's more like a balance beam. Like it's this big, thick thing. Because lots of people jump up on top of it and then jump off. And on the other side, there's water. If you land in the water, you're not disqualified or anything. You're just wet, which I suppose was a hot day. Maybe you'd jump in there on purpose. I'm not sure. And I thought, this is much more the race that we're called to. A race with a number of laps. It looks like we're doing the same thing. But the nice thing about a race with laps is you can see how you're doing. You can look at the time in each lap, and you can see whether you're ahead or behind, where you need to be to achieve what you want to achieve. You see this in all kinds of races with laps. Even swimming races seem to be able to indicate to the swimmers how they're doing in their split times, their lap times. Well, if we look at the race of faith, like this steeplechase kind of thing, a race that is mostly just running and just doing what we need to do, but occasionally there are barriers and obstacles that we need to jump over, and there's water to get us wet and maybe uncomfortable or maybe cool us off. And there are laps. And we can look at each lap and say, am I doing what I need to do in this lap? Am I working towards a personal best in this race? Because we have the track to ourselves. We're not racing against anyone else. Because it's our race. And each of our races is unique. And I can look at somebody else's race and say, that race is nothing but obstacles. And the water they're jumping into is really deep, and it's cold, and it's got poisonous fish in it, I think. My race, nothing. I have to hop over a puddle. And that misses the point again, because it's my race. And when I look at a puddle as a puddle, maybe somebody else looks at it and thinks, that's a triathlon, you have to swim across that thing. Each of us is called to the race that's marked out for us. And we don't race against other people. But we do have something to shoot for. Because verse 12 says, or verse 2 of chapter 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One of the problems with comparing our race of faith to somebody else is that we don't really know what's going on. We don't know whether theirs is harder or easier than ours. We don't know what they're going through. But at the same time, there's real value in having a model, something to look for, to base your training on and your performance on, and we have one. And the great thing is, it's Jesus, because nobody's going to look at the example of Jesus and say, well, I'm better than that. Of course not. We're going to look at it and say, well, that's what perfect looks like. And we're probably not going to achieve perfect. Perfect seems to be beyond us in most of the things in our life. And that's okay. We're not called to be perfect. We're called to look to this example of how to run this race, how to persevere, endure in our faith. We're supposed to look to this model of perfection to say, this is what we're striving towards. And if we set a personal best, we've done everything we could possibly be asked to do. We're not asked to become Jesus. We're supposed to strive to be like Jesus. We can't be. We're not God. We are not the incarnation of God in human flesh. That was Jesus. That only happened once. And he set an example of how to live a life of faith that we can look to for encouragement. We can look to as a demonstration of what a human being can do, because he was fully human when he was here. Am I persevering in the faith? Well, first of all, am I running my race or trying to run your race? If I'm trying to run your race, it doesn't matter how well I'm doing. I'm not going to win because I can't. I'm not supposed to be there. So I can't persevere that way. I can only persevere in running my own race. Looking at what God has called me to do. Looking at what God has said you can accomplish. And that's what we all do. And that's what most of us do most of the time, and do it pretty well. But for those times when we're finding it difficult, when we think, I don't know if I can do this, If we're looking at this steeplechase barrier that seems to have gotten higher than the last lap, and the water on the other side looks a lot wider and maybe even deeper than it did last time. We don't look to the people around us and say, well, if I was that person, I'd have an easier race. Or even, I'm glad I'm not that person because that would be way harder. We look to Jesus and say, here's someone who had the hardest race of all and he still finished in a personal best. I can do this. Does it mean I'm going to be perfect? No, it doesn't say, let us run with perfection, the race set before us. It says, no, let us run with perseverance. The answer to the question, am I persevering in the faith, is a question that only each of us can answer. I can't answer for you. I can only answer for me. And if I'm running the race put before me, if I'm exercising the faith that God has called me to exercise in my life, whether it's something as significant as children or a new job or financial setbacks or whatever it might be, whether it's as significant as that or as seemingly insignificant as just, should I talk to that person or not? When we're doing those things, when we're running the race that we are called to do, the answer to this is yes. Am I persevering in the faith? The answer is yes, as long as we're running. Some laps will be slower than others. Some will be harder than others. But our race is our race to run. And if we run it with faithfulness, if we run it with all that we have, if we run it looking not to the people around us, but to Jesus himself, then we are persevering in the faith and we will win this race. Am I persevering in the faith? Are you persevering in the faith? Yes. Yes, you are. If you haven't heard it before, I'm here to tell you now that you are. Maybe you could do better. Personal bests don't last forever. You keep working. You set new ones. But as long as you're running, you're persevering in the faith. Amen.